Thank you for that. We are in Deuteronomy this morning. I want us to see something that is very plainly stated here that will help us this morning. We want to talk a little bit about choices, okay? Life really is a series of choices that we make. Now, some of the choices are not that life-altering, okay? Such as, what am I going to wear today? Although sometimes some of the stuff you wear could pretty much alter your life. I've seen some pretty bad things. What should I do today? And of course, one of the most important choices you will have is, what is for lunch? That's a big one, isn't it? Those choices don't matter as much. The biggest choices are those that are a little bit more serious. And by the way, the choices we make so often show what is a priority in our life, what is really important to us. And some of the choices we make are life-altering. They will change aspects of our life in ways that are either for the good or for the bad. If you look at the Bible is a book of choices. Canaan land was a choice. God had Canaan land for them to eventually dwell in, but whether or not they dwelt there was a matter of their choice. And we saw how they did not choose at first, and they had 40 years of misery before they did choose. In the book of Jeremiah, Babylon was approaching, and there was no way God was going to change his mind on that, but they had a choice as to how they were going to react to that. In Jeremiah chapter 21, verse 8, and unto this people thou shalt say, God telling Jeremiah to tell them, thus saith the Lord, behold, I have set before you the way of life and the way of death. And he told them what they had to do. If they tried to fight against Babylon, they would be destroyed. They would be killed. If they surrendered to Babylon, because God had already determined, because of their sin, that they were going to have to do that, then they would be spared. Jesus talked about choices in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter you in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go therein. Behold, straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that findeth. Joshua, the end of his life, we know the choice that God had him give the people. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It was a choice. Salvation is a choice. 1 John 5:12 said, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. It's a matter of choices. We must make the right choice. This morning, we're going to look at the book of Deuteronomy briefly. The word Deuteronomy means second law or repetition of the law. In other words, in the book of Deuteronomy, there's a lot of repetition as Moses is preparing them for the promised land. And God has him talk to them about it. And a lot of it is repeating. He wants them to understand what they've done in the past, what God promised for them, and what God had already told them they had to do for the future. And all of it's done in preparation for entrance into Canaan. The reason the truth is repeated is because their first attempt at entering the land did not go very well. And so he reminds them of the deliverance he brought them out of Egypt and what their fathers did and how they rejected his offer and how they blew it, they messed up, and he is giving them admonition not to do that. But also as well, he reminds them of the promises of victory and blessing that await them if they will follow God and follow his plan and simply do the things that he has them to do. You see, Canaan land was a good land, but it was only going to work out for them, and God was only going to give them the victory over their enemies if they followed him and did what he wanted them to do completely. Now, he mentions to them that if they don't judgment will come and really lays out there that he knows that there will be a time when they will not listen and he will have to judgment. And then he also lets them know that even if that time comes, if they will get back to doing what they're supposed to do, God would bring them back into the land. And so God is laying this all out for them. But the point is this. What God is really telling them is that I'm telling you this, I'm telling you what the past happened, I'm telling you all this that you did, and I'm giving you the promises that I'll help you in the future, and I believe there's a time you won't. You come back, he goes, but God basically laid out and said, look, it's laid out from you, you can be blessed, but you have to choose to do what I say. It's right there. It's right in front of you. And if you don't receive what I have for you, it's not because I don't want you to have it. It's not because I'm not powerful enough to give it to you. It's because you don't choose to do it. Amen. Choose life. He tells them in verse 19, I have set before you life and death. The choice is theirs. Blessing and cursing. What do you want? Therefore, choose life. Make the right choice. It's laid out. It's on the table. It's right there. All you have to do is choose that which is best. By the way, the same is true for us. The quality of our life depends on the choices that we make. That quality relates specifically to our Christianity. You see, for the life we have and the way things work out for us are going to be directly connected to your relationship with God. And if you don't make the right choices, you're not going to have really what God wants you to have, the blessing that he wants you to have. Choose correctly and the quality is good. Choose correctly and the quality is bad. All too often, the majority of Christians in this country choose wrong. Yep. I'm going by those that say that they're saved. I'm going by those that say that they know Jesus Christ and there's been a time in their life they've trusted him as Savior. But if you look at their life and their life is not lined up for what really God has for them. Right. And what God wants for them. This morning I want to tell you it's laid out for us today. You can have the life that God wants you to have. There are key areas of our life that will be affected by the choice that we make. And he mentions them here in verse 20, and I want to show them to you this morning. It's a summation of all that God talks to them about. And so we'll look at it this morning. What areas are affected by the choices that we make? Well, first of all, it affects our love. He says, I've set before you, it's here, it's on the table. Death, life, blessing, cursing, choose life. And then in verse 20, he says, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God. If you look back at verse 16, he had already mentioned that. In that I commanded thee this day to love the Lord thy God. You see, if we really love God, things will go better. If we really love God, the choices we have to make from now on would be better. Yeah. But I want you to notice something else. Our love for God affects our choices. We know that. But I want you to understand this. But it's also true that our choices affect our love for God. In other words, we think that, you know, if I love God and I really love him, it's not lip service. It's not bumper sticker. It's not t-shirt Christianity. I really love him. And because I love him, I'm going to make the right choices. But let me say this. The opposite's true too. The choices you make are either going to help your love or they're going to hinder your love. Here's what he says. Matthew chapter 6 verse 21. And the principle is true. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, right? In other words, if I'm doing the right thing, if I'm investing in God and I'm investing in the right things, you know what's going to happen? My heart's going to follow. I'm going to lead my heart. My heart's not going to lead me, and that's a whole other message. Same's true with our love. If we make the right choices about our Christianity and we make the right choices about our love, about what we're doing with our God, our love will deepen. Yeah. It'll deepen. So your choices for good or for bad, and again, you could sit there, look, I'll have people tell me I love God and on one side of the mouth, and then on the opposite, they'll tell me something they'll do that really the action is saying, you don't love God. So our love for God is affected by our choices. Are we choosing to really do what he says? Are we choosing to follow him to the degree that he tells us to follow him? Because if not, it's going to affect our love. You ever hear someone say, you know, our love has just grown distant. I mean, when we first got married, we were in love, but I don't feel that love anymore, and we're growing apart. You know why? Because you're making choices in your life, you're making choices in your marriage, which is causing that to happen. Amen. Choices. The same is true of God. By the way, I'm not mentioning specific things, but you read your Bible, you start reading your Bible, your love's going to wane. You were faithful to church, now you're less faithful to church, your love's going to wane. All these choices affect our love. Remember, we went through Revelation, the church at Ephesus. Yep. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. These are the letters to the seven churches. He tells them the good, he tells them the bad, and he tells them the ugly. But he says, I have something against you because thou hast left thy first love. They left it. Why? There were some choices they made that caused them to leave that love. Verse 5, he gives them the remedy. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I'll come unto thee quickly. He says, get back to doing it. You made choices to quit doing and obeying and doing these things, and because of that, your love for me, you've left it. The point is this. The choices we make will either strengthen our love for God or it'll sabotage our love for God. Is there a time you felt like you were closer to God or you loved him more than you love him today? What choices have you made that have affected that love? God's just not that important to you anymore? Or he's not important to you as he used to be? Or maybe you're growing and says, I really want to love God, and I want him to be more important to me. Then make the right choices, because the choices affect our love. There's so many, you know, if you don't, here's some, you know, being unfaithful to church, your avoidance of good, godly Christian friends, listening to critical people. Don't listen to people that are critical of Christianity, Christians, or anything of that nature. Don't listen to that. Okay, why? Look, if you're married, you're not going to let someone come and criticize your spouse. Okay, and if you do, then there's an issue there. But that effect, not getting into our Bibles, not serving God like we used to, maybe not being generous or giving like we used to, or we've allowed some sin to creep into our life, and that just causes a distance between us and our God, and our love for him is going to suffer. Make the right choices. Secondly, it affects our submission. Thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice. See, God doesn't just want us to hear his voice. God wants us to actually hear his voice with the intent of finding out what he wants so that we actually go and do it. Yeah, look, it's like your children, when you discipline them, you don't want them just to, you know, hear what you're saying. You want them to hear what you're saying so that they'll do what you're saying. You tell your children to do something, you don't want them to say, I memorized what you told me to do. I'm not supposed to, you know, cross the street without looking both ways. By the way, if you cross the streets around here, you better look four ways, okay? These people drive crazy. But now are you looking both ways? Are you doing what we're telling you to do, or are you just memorize what we told you to do? God doesn't want you just to memorize. God wants you to actually do what he said. Well, I heard him. I read my Bible today. I was at church. But do you actually have the heart that says, I want to hear what God says. I want to read what he says so that I can do what he says. That's submission. Do you understand that God wants us to live a righteous life? What does that mean? In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 25, he says this, "And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do." You ever hear someone talk about, you know, "I want to be a holy Christian. I want to be a righteous Christian." What does that mean? You observe to do what he said. You're right in that you're doing what God says is right. That's what God wants for us. But it will not happen if we don't submit. God's not going to force us. Oh, now he tells us, if you obey, here's the blessings and here's what will happen. And if you disobey, this is going to happen too. Choice is yours. God wants us to obey, but we have to submit to that. James chapter 4, verse 7, he said, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands." You said, he mentions all these things, but he starts off with the most important. You have to submit yourself to God. That's a conscious decision that says, it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what my flesh says. It doesn't matter what others push me to do. I am willingly submitting myself to God so that whatever he says, I will strive to do it. Very important. If you're not obedient to God, it's because you have not chosen to be obedient to God. You have not chosen to submit yourself to him to say, he knows more. What's a little, and I don't even know if as a Christian, I see it all the time. It looks like he, and the little, you know, greater than I, right? Is that a Christian thing? I see it in a lot of cars. I thought it was like, hey, they put the V sideways. You know, I don't know what that is. You know, it's both, he is greater than I. He's not if you don't listen. If not, it's just a window sticker. Okay? And I don't want to put window stickers on my car that aren't true. If someone comes and puts on the back of my car, and I hate to say this because Dave Lucero probably will, you know, a Raiders sticker. That's a lie. I hate the Raiders. I'm a Christian. That's why I hate the Raiders. You know, put a Rams sticker back there. Okay? You know, by the way, I'm glad you're at church because the more that come at church, the better chance the Rams have of winning, okay? Don't stay home to watch them. I don't want them cursed because of you, you know? Put a Yankee sticker on the back of my car. Really? That's not true. I hate a lot of other teams. But the point, is he really greater than you? He is if we submit to him. Because if we're saying God's greater, then what we're saying is, then you're above me. I'm submitted to whatever you want from my life. What do you want? Right. And if you tell me it's directly to do something, Lord, I'm going to do it. Did you notice that resisting the devil is second? What, you know how closely tied they are? Here's how they're closely tied, and we'll move on. They're closely tied because when we submit ourselves to God, we're saying, you're in control. I'm following you. But you know what Satan's doctrine is? You just decide what you want to do in your own life. You be your own God. It started in the Garden of Eden. It's not changed. It's not seances. It's not, you know, it's not sacrificing kitties. It's not the pictogram. It's not candles in a dark room. Satan's okay as long as you're the one in control of your life. That's all he wants for you. We resist him by saying, God's in control. So it affects our submission. If we make the wrong choices, we're not submitting to God. Next, it affects our closeness. That thou mayest cleave unto him. The word cleave means to cling to stay with, to pursue closely. Cleave. We're going after God. I want to be close to him. I don't want him just where I can see him. I want him close to me. I want to know that we have that relationship. Not that I'm just saved and I'm on my way to heaven. God desires that. He said in Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 20, "Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, him shalt thou serve, and to him shalt thou cleave." Joshua said to the people, but cleave unto the Lord. See, our choices affect how close we are to him. Because the fact of the matter is, there is no way as a Christian I can choose to reject what he wants me to do or what he wants me to be and still be close to him. It doesn't work that way.
That's right.
Look, if you're asking someone to do something, they're not going to feel like giving them a hug. Closeness comes when we say, God, I'm on board with you. I'm on board. Whatever you're in, I'm there. I'm doing it. I want to stay. I don't want to do what I want to do. And I don't want to do anything that would push. Look, if we're going a different direction than God, how are we going to be close to him? He said, Cleave, stick with me. Most treat God like a jilted boyfriend or girlfriend. We reject their desire for closeness. See, did you know God wants to be close to you? How do you think he feels when we choose not to be close to him? In fact, so often we're running the other way. I remember when I was in junior high, the first year we were junior high, there was a lot of them, to be honest with you. There was a girl that liked me, Brother Pichardo. That was like probably 100 of them, but you know, hey, I don't have time, right? Lucero knows how it was, you know, but I had like 100. So this girl, she really liked, one Saturday morning, she actually showed up at my house. Like, how'd you find out where I stalk her? It was a Filipino girl, believe it or not. And I'm like, get out, you know, leave me alone. You know, she came by, I'm like, hey, how are you doing? I'm like, I'm fine. What are you doing here? You know, she left. You know, when we got into high school, I saw her again. I'm like, whoa. The years have been good to you. And I'm like, this is going to be easy. I mean, come on. Junior high, she thought I was like, you know, better than sliced bread. So I thought, I'm gonna get close to her. Can I just tell you something? She had a really good memory. I don't think she'd have spit on me if I was on fire. Memory, yeah. She understood rejection and she gave it back tenfold. You know, I wonder how God feels when I want to be close to you. And we're like, I don't have anything to do with that. Wonder how God feels about that. God wants us to be close. How do we do that? It's simple. We read the verse. I'll read it to you again in James. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. You know what you do? Unlike what she did to me, when we try to get close to God, God takes a step in. I said it before, it's like, you know, they don't show it before, but you know, back when I was a kid, they'd show the love scene and it's like two people running through a field. A guy running, now it'd probably be two guys, believe it or not, stupid, but a girl's running like this in slow motion and a guy, they're running towards each other. You know, you take a step towards God, God takes a step for, you know, God responds to any attempt on our part to get close to him. Because God wants us to get close to him. So it affects our closeness. Next, it affects our wellness. For he is thy life and the length of thy days. He's our life. He's everything. And the length of our days. Now, God made some promises to them about, you know, if you do this, you'll live longer. And to be honest with you, I believe that to a certain extent. I don't believe it like, well, if you're saved and you know you love God, you're going to live to be 100 and be rich. I'm not talking about that. We all have something called DNA, and you can do nothing about your DNA. If you know, that's just how it is. But I'll tell you what, in every area of your life, if you serve God, I think it'll be better than what it was.
Oh, yeah.
I just think it does. I mean, look, I don't have to worry about some things with my health because I'm not doing things that are sinful. And you see it and I see it. You see people that have lived a hard, sinful life and you see it in the way they look and what they're experiencing. Their mental well-being, their physical, their emotional, all of it. God, I just think it's better to serve God. You know? I think your health would be better. I'm not promising health and wealth. I think you understand what I'm saying. You have a better spirit, a better outlook on life, your emotions, your minds. There's a great life that only comes from serving God. There is. I just think it's better for you. See, everything you think you're looking for in life, so often we look for it the wrong way. But we'll really find those things and everything will clear up for us if we're just 100% committed to God. Next, it affects our direction. That thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. God wanted them in a specific place. God didn't just bring them out of Egypt to bring them out of Egypt so they would be out of bondage. God had something else in mind as he brought them out of Egypt. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 21 to 23 says, "Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondsmen in Egypt. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed sign and wonders great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his households, and before our eyes." And then in verse 23, he gives the kicker. "And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore to fathers." He brought us out of Egypt, but that wasn't all of it. The reason he brought us out is so he could bring us into the promised land. So if all they did was get out of Egypt, but they don't go into the promised land, they didn't get everything God had for them. And all of those that came out that were over 18, they all died because they rejected it. They didn't fulfill it. God said, no, I got a place for you. And by the way, God has a place for you. God, there's a type of Christian he wants you to be. There's something in your life that he wants you to accomplish. Now, some things mentioned in the Bible, it's for all of us. But God has a predetermined destination for you, and he wants us to get there. How do we get there? Our choices are going to determine that direction. By the way, if you go back to the closeness, if I'm staying close to God, I'm going to get to where I'm supposed to be if I'm following him. I tire of all these Christian phrases that don't mean anything to anybody. You know, I'm just a Christ follower. No, you're not. Don't say it if it's not true. Okay? Are we really following him? And it's just one of those little terms we throw out there like WWJD. And that's fine if you're doing what Jesus said. And if you really are following Christ, that's great. Let's not just throw phrases out there and be content with that. Let's actually do it. Okay? But direction. If we follow God, we'll never be led astray, and we'll always get to where God wants us to go. You know, and as I mentioned, I don't know what I mentioned, but, you know, God's more dependable than GPS. Sometimes GPS gets you, it may get you there, but it takes you through some goofy places. But God always gets you right where you're supposed to be, the perfect path, but our decisions affects that. And then lastly, it affects our reception. Which he sware the land unto the fathers, and then the last little three words there, to give them. It's a gift. It's something God wanted them to have. Do you know God wants us to have a lot of good things? Yes. You know, if you're married, God wants you to have a good marriage. Right. Do you know if you have children? I'm praying for you. God wants you to have a good family. Yes. God wants you to have joy. We don't like that sometimes. You know, we make the Christian life look miserable. Get over that. Read Philippians. God wants, he has all these things for us, but, and you know what the good, they're all inside of that package called salvation. Yes. It's all in there. You get salvation, I'm going to heaven. No. Open up the box. There's a lot more that he's offering us. And we'll never receive it if we don't make the right choices. What a shame it is for someone to know Jesus Christ and live their life and look back at the end like all those that died in the wilderness were doing and say, man, I could have had something better. You could have. But your choices kept you from having it. What's the point today? The point is, God's laid it all out you. I have set before you. It's right in front of us. And God tells us, choose life. Make the right choice. Don't take what I don't want for you. It's in front of us today. And it's going to affect our love for God, our submission to his word, how close we are to him, our well-being in life, our direction and determination. And do we really get what God has for us? I've set before you. It's set before us this morning. But you got to make right choices. Let's all stand together.